This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Silver Silence by Nalini Singh. Narrated by Angela Daw. Age of Trinity. October 2082 is a new beginning. Psi, human, and changeling, all three races have agreed to work together to unite their divided world. The Trinity Accord is the fragile foundation of all their hopes and dreams of a future without war, without violence, without shattering loss. It is a noble ambition. But the past is not an old coat that can be discarded and forgotten. It is a scent that clings and clings and clings. That scent is of blood and betrayal and a chilling, emotionless silence. The psychically gifted Psi seek to feel emotion for the first time in over 100 years. Changelings with their primal hearts fight their natural instinct to trust only pack, only clan. Humans look to the future with a grim-eyed determination to no longer be the weakest race. And others, they seek to spread chaos and death and division. Welcome to the Age of Trinity. Part 1. Chapter 1.
To be a merchant is to be a shadow that moves with will, with intelligence, with pitiless precision.
Ina Merchant, circa 2057. Silver Merchant believed in control. It was what made her so good at what she did. She was never caught by surprise. She prepared for everything. Unfortunately, it was impossible to prepare for the heavily muscled man standing at her apartment door.
How did you get in?
She asked in Russian, making sure to stand front and center in the doorway so he wouldn't forget this was her territory. Bears had a habit of just pushing everything out of their way. This bear shrugged his broad shoulders where he leaned up against the side of her door jamb.
I asked nicely,
he replied in the same language.
I live in the most secure building in central Moscow.
Silver stared at that square-jawed face with its honey-dark skin. It wasn't a tan. Valentin Nikolaev retained the shade in winter, got darker in summer.
And, she added, building security is made up of former soldiers who don't understand the word nice.
One of those soldiers was a merchant. No one talked his way past a merchant. Except for this man. This wasn't the first time he'd appeared on her doorstep on the 34th floor of this building.
I have a special charm,
Valentin responded, his big body blocking out the light and his deep smile settling into familiar grooves in his cheeks, his hair an inky black that was so messy she wondered if he even owned a comb. That hair appeared as if it might have a silken texture, in stark contrast to the harsh angles of his face. No part of him was tense, his body as lazy-limbed as a cat's. She knew he was trying to appear harmless, but she wasn't an idiot. Despite her offensive and defensive training, the alpha of the Stonewater clan could crush her like a bug, physically speaking. He had too much brawn, too much strength for her to beat him without a weapon. So it was as well that Silver's mind was a ruthless weapon.
Why did you need to see me at 7 in the morning?
She asked, because it was clear he wasn't going to tell her how he kept getting past her security. He extended a hand on which sat a data crystal.
The clan promised Mnet a breakdown of the small incidents we've handled over the past 3 months.
Those small incidents were times when Psi, humans, or non-clan changelings needed assistance in the area controlled by Stonewater, or elsewhere when members of the Bear Clan were close enough to help. As the director of the Worldwide Emergency Response Network, run under the aegis of the Trinity Accord, Silver was the one who coordinated all available resources, and in this part of the world, that included the Stonewater Bears. Of course, she had no ability to order them to do anything. Trying that on a predatory changeling was an exercise in abject failure. But she could ask. So far, the bears had always come through. The data crystal would tell her how many clan members and/or other resources had been required to manage each instance. It would help her fine-tune her requests in the future. She took the crystal, not bothering to ask why the alpha of the clan had turned up to personally deliver the data. Valintian liked to do things his way.
Why does Selenka let you get away with breaching her territory?
The Black Edge Wolves had control over this part of Moscow when it came to changeling access. The city was split evenly between the Wolf Pack and the Bear Clan, with the rest of their respective territories heading outward from that central dividing line. This apartment building fell in the wolf half. Valintin smiled, night-dark eyes alight in a way she couldn't describe.
Stonewater and Black Edge are friends now.
If Silver had felt emotion, she may have made a face of sheer disbelief. The two most powerful packs in Russia had a working relationship and no longer clashed in violent confrontations, but they were not friends.
I see,
she said, refusing to look away from those onyx eyes. Predatory changelings sometimes took a lack of eye contact as submissive behavior, even when interacting with non-changelings. Bears definitely took it as submissive behavior. They weren't exactly subtle about it either. In fact, bears were the least subtle of the changelings she'd met through her work as Caleb Krychek's senior aide and as the head of MNET.
What do you see, Starlight?
Valintin asked in his deep rumble of a voice that spoke of the animal that lived under his skin. Silver refused to react to the name he insisted on calling her. When she'd pointed out he was being discourteous by not using her actual name, he'd told her to call him her Midvizhonok, her teddy bear, that he wouldn't mind. It was difficult to have a rational conversation with a man who seemed impossible to insult or freeze out.
Ugh, bears.
She'd heard Selenka Durev say that through tightly clenched teeth on more than one occasion. While Silver's conditioning under the silence protocol remained pristine, her mind clear of all emotion, in the time she'd known Valintian, she'd come to understand the wolf alpha's reaction.
Thank you for the data, she said to him now. Next time you might wish to consider an invention we in the civilized world call email.
His laugh was so big it filled the air, filled the entire space of her apartment. The thought made no sense, yet it appeared like clockwork when Valintian laughed in her vicinity. She'd told herself multiple times that she worked for the most powerful man in the world. Valintian was only a changeling alpha. Unfortunately, it appeared changeling alphas had their own potent brand of charisma, and this bear alpha had a surfeit of it.
Have you thought about my offer?
He asked, the laughter still in his eyes.
The answer remains the same, Silver said as a burn spread through her chest. I do not wish to go have ice cream with you.
It's really good ice cream.
Smile disappearing, Valintin suddenly shifted fully upright from his leaning position against the door jamb, the size and muscle of him dangerously apparent.
You doing okay?
Quite fine, Silver said, even as the burn morphed into a jagged spike. Something was wrong. She had to contact.
Her brain shorted out. She was aware of her body beginning to spasm, her lungs gasping for air as her legs crumpled, but she couldn't get her telepathic muscles to work, couldn't contact her family or Caleb for an emergency teleport. Moving far faster than most people expected bear changelings to move, Valintian caught Silver's slender body before she'd done much more than sway on those ice pick heels she liked to wear. He knew it wasn't the heels that were toppling her. Silver was never in any danger on those heels. The woman walked on them like he walked on his Bigfoot-sized feet, as described by one of his three older sisters.
I've got you, Starlight,
he said, scooping her up in his arms and walking into her apartment. He'd been trying to get in for 10 long months, ever since he first met Ms. Silver Merchant, but he'd never expected it to be because she was convulsing in his arms. Placing her on the dark gray of the sofa, he turned her onto her side and gripped her jaw to keep her head from jerking too hard. At least she was breathing, though the sound was ragged. With his other hand, he grabbed his phone, went to call Caleb Krycek. The viciously powerful telekinetic could get her to help far faster than any ambulance, but Silver's body was spasming too violently for him to both hold the phone and keep her from hurting herself. Swearing under his breath, he dropped the phone and placed his other hand on her hip, holding her in place.
Not how I wanted to put my hands on you, Maya Solnishka.
He kept talking so she'd know she wasn't alone, but his blood was chilling with every second that passed. It was going on too long. Deciding to risk it, he released her hip and, snatching up his phone, managed to make the call.
Silver's apartment,
he said to the pitiless son of a bitch who was Silver's boss.
Medical emergency.
He dropped the phone as Silver jerked again.
Hold on, Starlight,
he ordered in his most obnoxiously alpha voice, trying to keep her body from wrenching painfully at the same time. If Silver was going to respond to anything, it would be to the idea that he dared give her an order.
You're tougher than this.
Her eyes, that glorious silver, met his, the pupils huge, right before her body went limp. Caleb appeared in the room at the same instant, the Psy male dressed in a flawless black-on-black suit.
What happened?
He asked, his voice as cold as midnight on the steps.
Get her to a doctor,
Valentin growled, the sound coming from the human male's vocal cords but carrying the bear's rage.
Tell them it was poison.
Caleb was smart enough not to waste time questioning him. He simply teleported out, taking Silver with him. Teeth gritted at the fact she was out of his sight, Valentin got up and, going into Silver's kitchen, began to pull out anything that could be food. Psy had strange ideas of food, meal bars and nutrient mixes. The only surprise in Silver's cupboard was a block of fine dark chocolate. Wondering if he'd discovered a secret about the most fascinating woman he'd ever met, a secret he could use to sneak past her defenses, no, he had no shame whatsoever when it came to Silver Merchant. He turned over the block and found a small card still attached to it. The writing was in English. It said, "Thank you for your assistance, Ms. Merchant. I hope you enjoy this small taste of our family business, Rico Cavalier." His bear rumbled inside his chest. This was the kind of gift a man gave a woman he was interested in, but it looked like this Rico had struck out if the chocolate was sitting in the back of what passed for Silver's pantry.
Good. Otherwise I'd have had to pound the fool into dust.
The only one courting Starlight was going to be Valentin. Having collected all possible food items, including some bland-looking cake from the cooler that was probably a nutrient-dense protein supplement, he began to go through them. Changelings had the sharpest noses of the three races. Bears had the sharpest noses among changelings. Nothing would escape him now that he'd pinpointed the poisonous scent from the millions of others in the air at any one time. The exemplar had come from Silver, her body screaming a warning to his senses as the poison went active.
Hungry, Alpha Nikolaev?
He didn't start at Krycek's midnight voice, having scented the Cardinal Telekinetic's return to the room. Thankfully for his nose, Caleb didn't have the astringent metallic sense that some Psy did, the ones who were so deep in the emotionless regime they called silence that Valentin didn't think anything would get them out. It was as if they'd cut out their hearts and souls. Silver was pure ice, but she didn't have that metallic scent either. It gave him hope. As did the faint touch of fire he kept picking up around her, a hidden sunshine that flickered against his skin. Valentin was determined to seduce Silver's hidden wildness out into the light. Who better than an uncivilized bear, after all?
How is she?
He asked, looking Krycek in the eye. The telekinetic's gaze was the eerie white stars on black that denoted the strongest among the Psy race, difficult to read even if it hadn't been Caleb Krycek, a man Valentin respected for his relentless will but mostly for his unexpected capacity for loyalty. Stonewater did its research on possible business partners. Valentin, a young second to Zoya at the time Krycek first appeared on Stonewater's radar, was the one who dug into the Psy male. And what he'd discovered about Krychek was that if you didn't betray him, he wouldn't betray you. Valentian could work with a man like that, especially since Krychek had had the good sense to employ Silver. The words the telekinetic spoke were toneless.
The medics are working on stabilizing her.
Valentian's gut clenched. A deep rumbling building in his chest, he held out a barely used jar of nutrient mix.
This has the same toxic scent as what I scented on her. Get it tested. I'm going to finish checking the other items.
Caleb left at once, no doubt aware that to treat Silver effectively, the medics needed to know the type of poison she'd ingested. Because while Valentian could tell something was toxic, he couldn't separate out individual poisonous scents, not when he'd never made it a point to learn those gradations. He saw the half-full glass on the counter, realized he'd interrupted Silver at breakfast. He didn't need to lift the glass to his nose to scent the toxins swirling in the coffee-colored liquid. If he'd been here, he would have smashed that glass out of her hand before a drop touched her lips. Jaw grinding, he handed the glass to Krychek when the other man returned. The third time Krychek came back, Valentian had found a second contaminated jar of nutrient mix.
It was the third from the front on the right-hand side,
he said, knowing the location of the poisoned jars might be important.
The nutrient bars were clean.
He'd ruthlessly opened each and every packet, exposing them to the air and to his nose.
Silver's going to be mad I trashed her kitchen.
Caleb took the jar, examined the label, then teleported out with it. When he returned, he said,
That was ordinary nutrient mix available at any Psy grocer.
You thinking product tampering?
It's a possibility. Those of my race are not universally liked.
That was a vast understatement. Many of the Psy might be attempting to regain their emotions after more than 100 years of training themselves to feel nothing, but their previous rulers had done massive damage, killed and tortured and created a deep vein of ill will. Both humans and changelings had long memories.
The other option is an assassination attempt.
Krychek's cardinal eyes took in the mess Valentian had made of the food.
I trust in your sense of smell, but I'll get everything tested regardless.
Valentian felt no insult. This wasn't about pride. It was about Silver's life.
Do it. Now tell me where she is.
Caleb slipped his hands into the pockets of his pants.
Silver hasn't mentioned a friendship.
I'm working on it.
Had been doing so since the day he'd walked scowling into a meeting and come face to face with a woman who made him think of hidden fire and cold, distant, searingly brilliant starlight. And, let's be honest, skin privileges. Naked skin privileges. Wild monkey skin privileges. He couldn't be around Silver and not have his body react. Her own body. It was slender, but with all the right curves. And she was tough. Tough as a female bear out for blood. Never once had she backed down against his deliberate provocation. His bear liked that. A lot. Enough to throw her over his shoulder and carry her off to his lair, if only she wouldn't fry his brains for daring. He was tempted to chance it anyway. He had a hard head, could probably take it so long as she wasn't trying to kill him. That mind of hers. He'd never met its like. Silver Merchant forgot nothing, and she had a steely presence that made even rowdy bears sit up and take notice. Woman like that, she'd make one hell of a mate. Too bad she refused to even consider the idea. Silver wasn't budging on the whole emotionless silence thing. My people chose silence for a reason, she'd said to him 3 visits earlier. While parts of that reasoning have proven false enough to topple silence for many, other parts still apply. I am and always will be silent. That means I will never be ready to run off and experience shenanigans with you. No matter. Valentian had a plan. Because she damn well was going to survive.
Don't even try to stop me from seeing her, Krychek,
he said to the Cardinal, who still hadn't spilled Silver's location.
I'm bigger and meaner than you.
Krychek raised an eyebrow.
Bigger, yes. Meaner. Let's leave that an open question. However, since she's alive because of you, I think you can be trusted with her whereabouts.
He told Valentin the name of the hospital. It happened to be a short 10-minute run from here. Normally, Valentin would have covered that distance without hesitation. His bear would have barely stretched out by the time he reached the hospital. He could do vehicles, but he didn't really like them. They were all too damn small as far as he was concerned. But this wasn't a normal day.
Can I hitch a ride?
The other man didn't say anything, but less than a second later, Valentin found himself standing in an antiseptic white corridor, the floor beneath his feet a chilly gray-blue. The chairs on one side were attached to the wall, the seat cushions darkest navy. On the right of the chairs was a door inset with a small square of glass. Beyond that glass lay an operating theater where white-garbed doctors and nurses worked with frantic efficiency to stabilize Silver. He couldn't see her, but regardless of the powerful hospital smells in the air, sharp and biting, he could scent the ice-cold starlight and secret fire of her.
I thought you'd take her to a private clinic.
This public hospital was an excellent one, but Silver was critical to the fragile balance of their fractured world, and Krychek could teleport anywhere in the blink of an eye.
The lead doctor working on her is one of the world's foremost specialists in toxins and poisons and their impact on the Psi body.
You download that information from the psychic network you're all part of?
Krychek nodded.
Useful.
Valentin couldn't imagine a life in which his mind was connected to a limitless vastness that included millions of strangers, but as a bear whose clan was his heartbeat, he could understand it.
You didn't leave her here alone.
Krychek had been delayed returning to him the first time around, long enough to bring in someone to watch over Silver.
No, he didn't.
The woman who'd spoken had just walked over from where she'd been getting a glass of water not far down the corridor. Her language of choice was English, and she had a scent that was almost no scent. But to a bear, everyone had a scent, and she hadn't quite managed to erase every thread of hers. The subtle memory of soap, the natural body scent that was uniquely hers, a touch of roses. He didn't have to ask her identity. This woman was Silver in 50 years. Her hair pure white and her eyes the same as his starlights, her facial bones fine, she was clearly a merchant. And if the rumors Valentin's third eldest sister had heard were true, then she was probably the merchant. He took a chance.
Grandmother Merchant,
he said in the same language she'd used, inclining his head slightly in acknowledgement of another alpha. Silver's grandmother didn't display any surprise at his greeting, so regal she clearly took it as her due that she'd be recognized. This, despite the fact the head of the Merchant family preferred to stay firmly out of the limelight. Yes, the Merchant women were as tough as steel. More than tough enough to handle bears.
You have me at a disadvantage,
was her polite but in no way warm response.
Valentin Nikolaev,
he said.
Alpha of the Stonewater clan.
He was with Silver when she collapsed.
Grandmother Merkin's eyes bored into Valentin's on the heels of Krychek's words.
If my granddaughter survives, it'll be because of your quick actions.
She shifted her attention to the Cardinal, who was the third point in their triangle.
Any response from the lab?
No,
Krychek said, then paused.
I have the report. I'm sending it through.
Beyond the square of glass, Valentin saw a doctor lift up her head. She nodded once toward the window to acknowledge the telepathic message before beginning to issue orders to her staff. Minutes turned to an hour. More. Still, they waited. The Human Patriot. He didn't consider himself a bad man. He wasn't in any way like the other self-centered bastards in the consortium. They wanted to sow division and foster chaos because it would be better for their bottom line. He was disgusted by their greed, had accepted the consortium's overture only because he intended to use the group to achieve his aims, aims formed of conscience and hope and love for his people. To him, the consortium was a tool to help him mount a righteous revolution. Yes, he made ruthless decisions when called for, but that was in business. In life, in politics, he acted on the conviction of his heart, and that heart was telling him the Trinity Accord would lead to the destruction of all that he held dear. His beloved children, his accomplished and beautiful wife, they'd all be destroyed by this proto-federation agreement being touted as a force for unity. Psi, humans, changelings, people of all three races would be equal, all have a say in the direction of the world.
Bullshit.
He closed his hand into a tight fist on the aged cherrywood of his desk, the top inlaid with fine gold and semi-precious stones. It was a status symbol, this desk, worth hundreds of times the yearly income of the common man on the street. It reminded him every day of what he'd achieved through determined intelligence and the genetic luck of the draw. Without the natural shield that protected his mind, he would long ago have become another casualty of Psi arrogance, another human psychically raped and violated by the emotionless, soulless bastards, his ideas and his freedom stolen. His eyes went to the photo of his wife on his desk. So much light in her eyes. That had been before. She still laughed. She still loved. But she hadn't been the same since that horrific day when she'd come up with an invention a Psi coveted. The monster had stripped her clean before the man who loved her to the core of his being could find a way to protect her. She no longer created, knowing it could be taken from her at any instant. But they were supposed to believe the Psi were turning over a new leaf, that they'd suddenly begun to respect the sanctity of the human mind. Throwing down the pen he'd picked up to sign a contract, he rose to his feet and, stepping out onto the balcony attached to his home study, looked down at the cool paradise of their white-tiled courtyard with its fountain in the center. His children's laughter drifted up from below, their small bodies hidden by the black plum trees that hung heavy with fruit. His boy ran out from under the trees, held up a toy truck.
Come play!
He smiled, his heart so full he could hardly bear it.
In a moment,
he called down.
Let Papa finish his work first. We'll play afterward.
Happy with the promise, the boy returned to his play while a little girl jumped into the fountain in laughing delight. Wild his daughter was, and the apple of his eye. How could it be otherwise when she was so like her mother? And his son. Oh, he loved his son, too. So much. Enough to fight for a future where they wouldn't be used and discarded. Because if his informant was right, the Psi race desperately needed to harness human minds for some reason the informant hadn't yet been able to unearth. And whenever the Psi needed something from humans, the powerful psychic race just took it. No more. If that meant he had to become a monster himself, had to circumvent loyalties and buy betrayal, even order the death of a brilliant woman who, on the surface, appeared to have no bias in sending aid to various humanitarian crises around the world. So be it. Silver Merchant and Emnet were one of the foundation stones on which Trinity was built. But that foundation stone was set to break, alongside several others. Soon.
Chapter 2.
Betrayal is a rusted sword that wounds long before the first cut is made.
Lord Darren Merchant, circa 1502. The doctor, an M-Psi, emerged 2 hours after Krychek had sent through the telepathic message about the details of the poison. Valentian was pacing the hallway, his bear shoving at the inside of his skin, its fur thick and heavy.
She'll make a full recovery. No complications foreseen.
Valentian's lungs filled with air again, his chest expanding.
Did you have to remove any of her organs?
The question came from Grandmother Merchant.
No.
The short, dark-haired doctor took a whisper-thin organizer from a nurse who'd just come through the doors at the other end of the corridor.
We pumped out her stomach, gave her the antidote, but because of the complexity of the poison, we had to monitor her responses and calibrate the antidote drop by drop.
A glance up from the medical file on the organizer.
She was lucky. The nutrients weren't close to digested, and she didn't get the full dose.
Valentin thought again of that half-full glass, and of how long it had taken him to climb up to an open window on a lower floor of Silver's building. From there, it had been relatively easy to avoid the security cameras and get to Silver's floor. If he'd been just a minute too late.
When can we see her?
The doctor didn't question his right to be there. Apparently, being with the head of the Merkant family and Caleb Krycek gave him instant credibility, even if he was dressed in ripped jeans and an old white shirt with the sleeves rolled up. That shirt had a drip of blue paint on one shoulder. He'd thought, once, about dressing up for Silver, but he figured if he was going to coax her to the bear side, he should go full bear mode. No point in false advertising. He couldn't wait for those cool eyes of hers to give him their usual critical once-over. Last visit, she'd offered to supply him with the name of a good seamstress who could patch up the holes in his jeans. The visit before that, she'd pointed out that most people stopped wearing their t-shirts long before the color faded to a shade that can be best described as rag gray. According to these updated readings, the doctor said, her eyes on the organizer, she should be conscious in 90 minutes to 2 hours. We'll be moving her into a recovery room shortly. The three of them waited in silence while Silver was ensconced in a private room. Valentin watched her grandmother go inside to sit with her, made himself stay outside, though bear and man both wanted to thunder inside. He didn't even look through the partially open blinds on the window beside the door, as he hadn't looked when she was moved from the operating theater to the recovery room. Silver would not thank him for seeing her when she was so vulnerable. Except he already had. He groaned, the bass sound coming from deep within.
She is never going to forgive me for having witnessed her collapse.
Beside him, Krycek glanced at his watch, the cardinal-sized dark hair gleaming in the overhead light.
Given the current time and the fact Silver keeps to a firm schedule unless she needs to adapt to fit a developing situation, you interrupted her at breakfast, thus saving her life.
You think she'll see it that way?
Valentin asked on an excited burst of hope. The other man didn't even pause to consider it.
No, you're out of luck.
Valentin narrowed his eyes, wondering if Krycek was laughing at him. The cardinal was the coldest man he knew, but unlike Valentin, Caleb Krycek had a woman who adored him. Sahara Kiriakis made no effort to hide her love for her mate. Valentin had seen her kissing Krycek right in the center of Red Square, her joy a bright light. Krycek hadn't so much as cracked a faint smile the entire time, but a man had to have a heart to win that of a woman who wore hers on her sleeve. So yes, his bear decided, it was quite possible Caleb Krycek was laughing at him under that frigid exterior.
Thank you for nothing,
he grumbled to the other man before propping himself up against the nearest wall.
Do you want to return teleport?
No, I'll wait.
Just until Starlight was awake. He needed to see her chest rise and fall, hear the frosty control of her voice, feel the laser focus of her intelligence.
Don't let Silver spot you, or any hope you have of her choosing to forget this incident will go up in smoke.
Now Valentin was certain Krycek was laughing at him.
Go count your fleas, you mangy wolf,
he said on a deep rumble of sound emanating from his bearish side, the latter words the worst possible insult among Stonewater bears. Krycek teleported out so fast Valentin wasn't sure he'd heard. It probably hadn't been the most diplomatic thing to say to a cardinal of such brutal power, but Valentin wasn't the least sorry about it. Which was why he tended to leave the Krycek contacts to Anastasia. His eldest sister and second-in-command was much, much better at this type of thing. Valentin was a
big deranged grizzly, while Stasia was an intelligent and thoughtful panda.
That description had come from his second eldest sister, Nova. Forget that he, Stasia, Nova, and Nika, his third eldest sister, were all Kamchatka brown bears, and pandas were so thoughtful they often took an hour to reply to a question. Apparently it was a metaphor. At least Nova hadn't called him an actual Shnizni Chilovik. An alpha had to have some standards, his included not being called a yeti. Or a wolf. His impolitic nature was the reason why it had taken him so long to meet Silver. He'd just never gone to any Moscow meetings. Now he went to every one where he knew she would be present. Stasia had thrown up her hands when he dug in his feet on the matter. Then she'd given him duct tape to put over his mouth whenever he felt like being his
lumbering berry self.
End quote. The Linton didn't lumber. Not unless he'd downed a few beers. And none of those thoughts were keeping his mind off the woman in the room beyond the closed door. When that door opened at long last, he found himself the focus of a steely gaze.
"My name," Silver's grandmother said, "is Ina, but you may call me grandmother."
Valentian was well aware he'd been granted a privilege. When he'd first greeted her that way, it had been because it was the most respectful address that came to mind. This, however, was permission to take a familial intimacy. While he didn't know anything of Ina beyond the fact she was the head of a powerful family, he knew enough of Silver to know this was serious business. Women like Ina and Silver did not offer such things lightly.
"How's our girl doing, grandmother?"
Ina Merkant stared at him for long minutes.
"You're extremely brash. Nothing like the Leopard Alpha who's representing so many changeling groups in the Trinity Accord."
"There's a reason Lucas is our public face."
It hadn't been a hard decision to trust Lucas Hunter to look after Stonewater's interests in the fledgling accord that sought to unite their divided world. The other man had more reason than anyone to fight for the tenets of Trinity. His daughter was both Psi and changeling, the first such child born in a century, and he, like Valentian, had a number of humans in his pack.
"Can you imagine me negotiating with the Kritian Lucas deals with on a daily basis?"
Making a gun of his thumb and forefingers, he pressed it to his temple, set it off with a boof of sound. Not responding to that, Ina Merkant sat down in one of the visitor chairs against the wall. Next to her, he stayed upright, alert.
"No other windows into Silver's room?"
"No. I'm running a telepathic scan, so I'll know the instant anyone teleports in."
So would Valentian, his sense of smell hyper-focused. No one was going to hurt his starlight.
"So, grandmother, you think it was product tempering?"
Ina's response was indirect.
"Silver always has 6 jars in the cupboard. She starts on the left, pulls the second jar on the left forward once she's finished the first, and so on. It's interesting you found a second tainted jar in the position you did."
Valentian's claws, long, curved, and deadly, threatened to erupt from his skin.
"Interesting is not the word I'd use."
If the poisoner was uncertain of Silver's system, that person would have doctored a jar on each side. Not the first one, so it'd be harder to pin down exactly when the jars had been tampered with, but the second in each row.
"She was targeted."
Ina stayed silent for long enough that he managed to talk his bear out of surging to the surface. Now was not the time to rampage in fury, because deranged grizzly tendencies or not, Valentian was also an alpha to the core of his soul. He had the capacity to control his primal urges. Medical calls came and went over the intercom, and a nurse rushed by in response to an alert, but inside Silver's room, it stayed quiet.
"What do you know of my family?"
Ina asked at last. He noted the possessive. Yes, this woman was an alpha too. A matriarch like the Bear Valentin had succeeded in Stonewater 8 months earlier. Zoya was as tough, though far less reserved in her responses. That just made his former alpha a bear and Ina a sigh. It said nothing about either woman's power.
Not much,
he admitted in response to her question about the Merkins.
My sister Yanika knows a lot of people.
Half of Russia, it sometimes felt like.
So we've picked up things here and there, but we've made no effort to dig into Psy politics.
They had no Psy in their clan, and thus no reason or ability to have a direct line of information. Of course, that would change once he convinced Silver to throw in her lot with him. He'd need the information to make sure she was safe, as she hadn't been in her own apartment. Inside him, his bear rose up on its back paws, a massive creature enraged that Silver's home had been violated. Home was safety, was where they raised their cubs and nurtured the bonds of family. Home was warmth and love and play. It was never an acceptable target, no matter what the war.
I don't need anyone to tell me that you personally are a power,
he said, his voice dropping into a deeper register as his bear continued to pace inside him.
You wear it like a second skin. It's so obvious even a snowblind polar bear couldn't miss it. Added to that, Krychek respects you.
While Stonewater and Krychek had had a rocky road to a wary trust that was still a work in progress, Valentin had never doubted the other man's smarts.
He knew you'd be able to protect Silver.
A glance up, Ina's expression impossible to read.
Brash and astute. An unexpected combination.
Valentin shrugged.
Element of surprise.
Many people took the bearish approach to life as evidence that bears were dense and unintelligent. Bears made no effort whatsoever to dissuade the idiots. As Stasia had put it,
why should we school the stupid out of them when it means we have a huge advantage in almost any negotiation?
Too bad Selenka's wolves had long ago figured out the truth.
My family is powerful,
Grandmother Merkant said, her eyes on the wall in front of her.
We are the primary shadow players in the net, the family everyone wants to court to gain intelligence, have our machinery at their back while they climb to power.
Surprised at her candor, Valentin listened in alert silence. One of the things Nika had picked up through her ability to make all kinds of friends, it was as if she'd been adopted from a pony herd or something, was that the Merkins kept their mouths sealed shut when it came to the family.
Killing Silver would cripple us for at least a decade,
Ina added, the reminder of the attempt to end Silver's starlight making Valentin see red all over again, his shoulder muscles bunching tight as he crossed his arms. Ina continued to speak.
We would withdraw, regroup, become strong again. But we would have lost the person I trust to lead the Merkins into the future.
Her voice never altered, her tone flat, but Valentin knew without a single doubt that Ina Merkant would kill to protect her granddaughter, her love a fierce thing. Ina wouldn't call it love, neither would Silver. Didn't change the fact that the loyalty tying them together was a bond of the heart any bear would recognize.
She's also the only one who knows Emnet inside and out,
he said, drawing in fine traces of Silver's scent through all the antiseptics and medicines that hung so heavy in the air. His bear clawed at him, wanting out, wanting to nuzzle her, cuddle her close. Valentin had some trouble getting it under control, since he wanted the same thing.
Even if we take her link to Krychek out of the equation,
he said,
Silver is a target on multiple fronts. The Consortium.
A greedy, dishonorable group that Lucas Hunter had warned him about.
Is anti-peace, and Emnet is the flag-bearer for Trinity.
For the hope of a permanent worldwide peace.
Yes.
Again, Ina said nothing else for so long that he thought the conversation was over. But then she stirred.
Someone got into the most secure apartment building in Moscow. Then they got into her apartment, all without tripping security.
It's not that hard to get into her building,
Valentin told her, furious at the security people.
I climbed in through an open window on the third floor.
He couldn't climb for shit in his animal form, his bear too big, but in his human form with his claws out, he hadn't found a wall he couldn't scale. Not that the Alpha of Stonewater made a habit of climbing up apartment buildings. He only did that for his icy starlight.
Most people,
Ina responded,
including most changelings, don't have the kind of claws sported by bears. You're also heavily muscled and, I'm guessing, extremely strong.
Teleporters don't need claws or physical strength.
No, but Silver has worked with a Cardinal telekinetic for years. She had scent filters put in, motion sensors. Caleb tested the precautions to make sure they'd work against someone with his ability. She should have known the instant an intruder entered, but it's clear she registered no such intrusion.
Valentin's bear froze.
You think the poison was added by someone she let in?
Easy if the guest was a person Silver trusted, a person she would have left alone in the living area while she went to fetch something from another room or maybe excused herself to take a private call. The kitchen was only steps away. Ina inclined her head.
If this individual was smart, he or she wouldn't have dosed the jar Silver was using at the time.
That's what I figured.
His bear headbutting him in a stubborn refusal to sit down and behave until it had seen Silver, Valentin thought back to her kitchen cupboards and to the second tainted jar.
How long does a jar last?
1 month if used non-stop, which Silver doesn't do. 2 to 3 months if interspersed with other sources of nutrients like the bars and protein supplements.
We need to go through all the visitors she's had in the time since she began using the jar before this one.
Even though Silver had just opened this jar, they'd have to go back at least 4 months to be on the safe side.
No, Valentin,
Ina said, interrupting him mid-thought.
That is not your responsibility.
Valentin's bear roared in outrage. He clenched his jaw, frustratingly conscious that he had no rights here. Silver wasn't his, hadn't even let him through her front door yet. Today didn't count, and even his bear wouldn't argue that it set a precedent. Starlight had to invite him in for it to count.
Your job, Ina said, is to give her safe harbor.
The bear stopped mid-roar, stunned into silence.
I'd like nothing better,
Valentin said through his surprise.
But Silver won't accept a bodyguard.
And he was Alpha. His time bound to the clan, a truth Ina had to understand. What she couldn't know was just how badly his clan needed him right now. His short visits to annoy and court Starlight had been the only breaks he'd taken since becoming Alpha 8 months earlier.
I know,
Ina replied.
I also know she won't go far from her center of work, but she can't continue to live in a place where anyone can walk in and poison her.
Valentin's fur ruffled inside him, his bear's attention caught.
The poison is important.
His next question was pure instinct.
Is it a merchant weapon?
Shadow players would strike with stealth rather than in open aggression. Ina's response was telling.
I can't offer her any of our safe houses. They're keyed to all merchants.
Biting back a harsh word in his native tongue, quite certain both Babushka Karolina and Babushka Angela would clip him on the ear if they heard he'd uttered that particular word in the presence of an elder, he ran a hand through his hair.
You think one of your own went after Silver?
Our entire family is built on trust.
Like a bear clan.
Betrayal was a dagger to the heart, and it hurt. Valentin knew. He'd felt it stab him to the core, was still bleeding and bruised because of it, his bear dejected by the unexpected blow.
Why not ask Krychek for a place?
Valentin forced himself to ask. He wanted to haul Silver deep into his territory where no one could hurt her, but these were the same questions she'd ask. Better he and Ina have her boxed in before she woke. The bear inside him snorted at the idea of playing fair when it was Starlight's life at stake.
Since Silver won't abandon her work by moving to a totally different region, the only possibilities Caleb can offer her will be in central Moscow. She'd remain accessible to her enemies.
Valentin unfolded his arms, a smile starting to tug at his lips.
Are you asking me to kidnap your granddaughter?
Let's call it an enforced move out of the field of danger.
He was fluent in English, thanks to his Canadian polar bear maternal grandmother, but it still took him a second to work out that, yes, Ina was in favor of Valentin kidnapping Silver. Chapter 3.
Blind uniformity is a fool's goal.
Ina Merkant, circa 2072. Already plotting the kidnapping, Valentin said,
Silver knows a lot of teleporters.
Even the deadly and secretive Arrow Squad, who Nika said were the boogeymen of the Psi, responded to a call from the director of MNET.
Given the nature of this incident, she'd ask no one but Caleb, and Caleb understands the problem.
Her words confirmed what he'd begun to suspect. Krychek wasn't simply a telekinetic for whom Silver had worked for years prior to taking up the reins of MNET. The other man had become tightly bonded to the Merkants.
Why trust me?
You could have let her die. You didn't. That means you and Caleb are the two people I can trust without question right now.
I need to talk to my clan.
Valentin was Alpha, his word law, but no bear clan would function well with an autocrat at the helm. Clan was about family, about respect, about loyalty. Pain lanced through his bear's heart as terrible memories rose on the heels of that thought, the wound as fresh today as the day it had been made. Ina rose to her feet.
I will sit with my granddaughter while you confer with your people.
Valentin pulled out his phone the instant she was inside the recovery room. He'd picked up the sleek black device almost automatically before he entered Silver's kitchen to hunt down the poison. He pressed a familiar code.
What did you break now?
Were Stasia's opening words. Ignoring the greeting only a big sister would think to offer her Alpha, he said,
Security threats if we bring a Psi into Denholm.
Like beads on a necklace that tumbled this way and that, Denholm was a maze-like collection of interconnected dwellings dug out of a mountain. It was sprawling and snug and, most of all, safe for the occasionally uncoordinated and always troublemaking balls of fur that were their cubs.
Which Psi?
Stasia asked with her usual no-nonsense directness.
Silver Merkant.
Very funny, Mishka, she said,
using his childhood nickname of Little Bear. Sisters never forgot anything, and they told everyone they knew until a man had to remind people his name was actually the very adult-sounding Valentin Mikhailovich Nikolaev.
I know you have a thing for her, but abducting women is against the law.
She said the last very firmly.
Even for bears, get that into your head.
No joke.
He wished it had been play, that he'd given in to his primal instincts and thrown Silver over his shoulder. She'd have reacted badly, but she wouldn't now be lying unconscious in a hospital bed.
She needs a safe place to lie low, and we're the best available.
If you're messing with me, I'll put toothpaste in your hair while you sleep,
his second-in-command warned.
You know Silver Merkant is a threat as big as an elephant on steroids. She'll have visuals of our den, of our little ones. We'll pick up our security system, could use it all to mount an attack. It might not be physical, but an economic attack could cripple us as badly, especially now, with our resources split.
Valentin rubbed a clenched fist over his heart.
I'm dead certain I can make a deal where nothing she learns would ever be used against us.
Raw animal instinct told him that Ina Merkant wasn't a woman who gave her word lightly. If he had it, his clan would be safe. Also, Starlight was his to protect. Yes, she'd argue about his claim, but he liked arguing with Silver. She might be pure frost, but she never shied away from picking up any of the gauntlets he'd cunningly thrown down in an effort to break through her defenses. Though perhaps cunning wasn't the right word when he'd been as obvious as Anastasia's elephant on steroids.
Good, his sister said now. But the threat isn't as bad as my first level assessment.
Her voice was crisp, direct.
Silver is linked to Krychek, and we know from Nika's many spies and friends that Krychek can teleport to places by locking onto faces. So if he wanted to get into Denholm, he could. But we have an agreement with Krychek. That means if Silver betrays us, she dumps her boss in it.
I don't think Silver will be betraying us.
His cool blonde Starlight was working mercilessly hard to make Emnet a truly cohesive entity. She couldn't afford to alienate one of the two largest changeling groups in Russia.
I'm bringing her in.
You realize certain bears will probably have a problem with her being here.
They'll deal, or I'll crack their skulls together until they find their brains.
Valentian might not want to handle Trinity negotiations on a day-to-day basis, but he understood the need behind the accord. Their world had been divided too long, the fractures running deep and causing wide veins of anger and mistrust. The defunct Psi Council had done horrific damage in the past, had murdered and stolen and broken, but the monstrous bastards had no claim on the future. Psi, human, or changeling, all three races had to take responsibility for the world they would leave their cubs. Here, in this city, it would begin with a Psi being welcomed into a bear clan.
I'll prepare a spare cave.
They didn't actually live in caves. Okay, they did, but they were very nice caves. He wondered what Silver would think of Denholm.
Спасибо, Stasia.
Hanging up, he entered the recovery room after a quiet knock, making a deliberate effort to keep his eyes averted from the bed on which Silver lay so quiet and still. His bear didn't fight him. That primal part of him understood extremely well that getting on the bad side of a female bear's pride was a very bad idea. And as far as Valentian was concerned, Silver was a bear under the skin. Strength and wildness and a relentless, sometimes obstinate, will. None of that was a negative. Valentian could be obstinate himself. He needed a mate who'd refuse to take any of his shit. She'd also drive him insane, of that he was certain, but bears were lunatics anyway. It'd be fun. All he had to do was convince Silver of that. His bear grunted inside him, confident of its charm and ability to court the woman who spoke to both parts of his soul. Valentian decided his animal had the right idea. Go in guns blazing and charm at full blast. And he had to be sneaky so she didn't think to put up her defenses until it was too late. Not bear sneaky, cat sneaky. That began with making sure she ended up in his territory.
Silver is welcome in Denholm,
he said to Ina.
Can she work remotely until the danger is past?
He was already making a list in his head of the tech she'd need. A cat would be sneaky like that, would give the woman he was courting what she needed before she even asked for it.
I'll talk to her, Ina replied. Make sure she understands that family is not safe for her.
Valentin left soon afterward, aware exactly how much it must have cost this proud, strong alpha to say those words. Silver woke to walls that were a crisp white, and a ceiling that had a cross-hatched pattern that struck her as a design artifact from at least 6 decades earlier. Her apartment didn't have that type of a ceiling, was smooth. It wasn't white either, rather a pale gray. Her walls were gray too. She hadn't chosen the colors. They'd come with the apartment, and as the colors didn't distract her or cause any unexpected reactions in her brain, she'd left it. Her neighbor in the apartment next door, a human executive who was only in Moscow approximately 3 months of the year spread out over tens of short visits, had already had her place repainted 3 times in the space of 4 years. The last time she'd knocked on Silver's door and asked her favorite of 3 shades of cream. Silver had stopped pointing out that she was Sai, didn't spend time on such matters, didn't have favorites. To satisfy the other woman, she'd just pointed to a random shade. Inevitably, it was the one Monique Ling wasn't loving. The chaos of thoughts tumbled through Silver's brain in the space of a few heartbeats. Within those heartbeats, her telepathic senses were spreading out, evaluating the threats in the room. She didn't get far. Her head was thick, felt foggy. But that wasn't why. Silver could push through that, could force herself to function even when she was at less than 100%. She stopped because her psychic senses had brushed up against a mind that had once encompassed her own. She'd been a child at the time, one learning to handle violent telepathic abilities that left her vulnerable to the torrent of noise the world threw at her.
Grandmother.
Her voice came out rough, as if her throat were lined with grit.
Here.
Her grandmother, seated in a chair beside Silver's bed, slipped chips of ice between her lips. Regardless of the questions pounding at her, Silver forced herself to be patient. That was another lesson her grandmother had taught her. To control her psychic abilities, Silver had to learn to leash her impulsive nature. Ina Merkin didn't believe in flaws or perfection.
"We are who we are, and we are strong," was her oft-stated motto.
It was a motto that had been passed down from one head of the family to the next in an unbroken line. As a result, the Merkins didn't single out children for traits that would have had them labeled failures in many other families. Instead, all Merkin children were trained and educated according to their natural inclinations. In some cases, that meant utilizing the natural trait. In others, it meant training the child to be aware of facets that might negatively impact his or her psychic stability. Today, Silver utilized an old mental exercise to keep her questions from pouring out onto the audible or psychic plane. At the same time, as her brain woke to its usual sharpness, she continued her psychic scan and came up against a mind she couldn't read, but that was familiar nonetheless. That hard outer shell, impervious to psychic intrusion, belonged to a changeling. The presence of a changeling wasn't unusual. From the data she'd already gathered about her situation, she was obviously in a hospital. Running into changeling or human minds was to be expected. This mind, however...
"What is Valentian doing here?"
she asked before she realized what it would betray. She recognized her grandmother's mind because they had a telepathic pathway between them that had existed for nearly 29 years. The imprint so familiar, the knowledge was ingrained. That didn't apply with Valentian. Yet despite the fact she couldn't even sense Valentin's surface thoughts, his natural shield too powerful, she knew without a doubt that it was him. If anyone had asked her to explain, she'd have been reduced to saying the mind tasted like him. For a sigh, that was a ridiculous explanation. It was fortunate her grandmother didn't ask her how she'd so quickly pinpointed his identity.
"He's the reason you're breathing right now."
No change in Ina's tone, but Silver turned her eyes from the closed door to the room and toward the woman who'd been the defining force in her life. She had highly competent parents who'd shared child-rearing duties when it came to Silver, but it was to Ina that Silver had always looked for guidance.
"Like recognizes like," her mother had once said to her. "She understands you better than I ever will."
It was true. Silver rarely had to explain her thought processes to her grandmother.
"I remember Alpha Nikolaev turning up on my doorstep with a data crystal,"
she said in response to her grandmother's statement.
"Then nothing."
The black spot in her memory brought her up short.
"Did I have a seizure?"
"It wasn't as a result of a physical ailment or degeneration," Ina said, answering the most critical question. "You ingested a comparatively fast-acting poison."
Silver took in the information, separated out into its components, absorbed it. Her mind went back to her morning before Valentian had knocked on the door. Why he didn't use the perfectly functional intercom was not a question she wasted time asking. Bears, she'd learned, often did things that were inexplicable just because they could. Valentin had turned that into an art form.
I ate dinner at 8 the previous night, went to sleep at 10:30. I woke 60 minutes prior to Alpha Nikolaev's arrival, she said, working it through. I spent 30 minutes doing yoga.
Another exercise she'd been taught to help her regulate her naturally chaotic mental patterns, the exercise now a part of her.
25 minutes to shower and dress for the day.
It took so long because she had to put on makeup and fix her hair in precisely the right fashion. Icily silent or open to emotion, Sai reacted to physical stimuli the same as any other race. Silver's appearance was carefully calibrated to trigger a certain subconscious response.
I spent the next few minutes going through the messages that had come in during my sleeping hours, at the same time preparing a nutrient drink.
She remembered drinking half a glass before the familiar heavy knock on her door.
I placed the still half-full glass on the counter alongside my organizer not long afterward, went to open the door to Alpha Nikolaev.
Did you know it was him?
The only two people who knock on my door that early in the morning are my neighbor and Alpha Nikolaev. As Monique Lin is currently in Hong Kong, that left only him.
She didn't say she'd recognized the knock, the psychic sense of him.
I was speaking to him, and that's the point where my mind goes blank.
Staying in her seated position beside the bed, her grandmother filled her in. Some of it Silver had already guessed, including that the poison must have been in her nutrient mix. The rest was new.
Alpha Nikolaev saw me convulse.
Silver was silent, had consciously retained her conditioning even as the psi-net began to fill with emotion around her. As a result, she didn't like or dislike things, wasn't happy or unhappy about any given situation. Valentin, seeing her while she was so vulnerable, however, changed the power dynamic between them. That could not be permitted to stand. Bears had a tendency to stomp their way over opposition they considered weak. Silver wasn't about to be stomped.
He contacted Caleb. Got you here.
Ina closed her hand over Silver's wrist, the physical contact from her grandmother so rare that it was a severe jolt to her equilibrium.
The Bear Alpha also found poison in a second unopened jar of nutrient mix.
Silver's lashes lowered. When they rose again, she knew why her grandmother was concerned enough to breach the strict rules by which the Merkant family had functioned and survived the years the silence protocol ruled the Psi. Because their genetic line had never been naturally inclined toward emotionlessness. Merkins had been warriors through time, had roared in battle, had run with fury in the blood, according to old documents Silver had been given access to 6 months earlier when she began to take on some of her grandmother's duties. They'd also birthed fiery poets and playwrights whose prose was lauded to this day. Their line was said to be full of passion. To Silver, passion was a mere intellectual concept, but she understood that it denoted wildness. As a result, silence had never been an easy fit for them. But along with passion, Silver's ancestors had repeatedly